Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Juliette, hi, great to see you.
Great to be back in the room with you, Christy Lee.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we've got an interesting topic to chat about today. And actually, this is something I spend a lot of time talking about with my members, which is the benefits that we need to give our employees, or we feel the need to give our employees, to keep them motivated and to retain them in our businesses. Do you spend a lot of time talking to your clients about this?
Yes, often the conversation I have, and I know I've had them for years, is around the, I don't understand why they don't appreciate the benefits I'm giving them. You know, I've gone to all this trouble of thinking about this and packaging things up to make it right for them. And they don't seem to appreciate it.
Yeah, I see that a lot as well. And it causes, I think, a lot of stress and frustration for leaders and business owners when they feel like all their efforts aren't valued by their team. But quite often the key issue is that they're rewarding or incentivizing or giving benefits in a way that aren't landing because they haven't looked after the fundamentals of motivation, have they?
I think that's exactly right. And they're trying to do a sort of one size fits all. Or they're just basing it on what they think and they're not checking in. And you're right, we come back to that, the whole fundamentals around how we motivate our people. And I think that gets missed. And I think often because it feels a bit uncomfortable, I think what I hear is there's almost a sort of, I'm trying to make this work for them. But in that process, they're not talking to the people in their team to understand what would actually work for them.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I think that trap that they often fall into is it has to be expensive. I'm going to spend a lot of money on this. The more money I throw at it, the more appreciative they should be. And also they do things that maybe they would like as an employee rather than what their team might like. And it's not the same.
I saw that with gym memberships with a client years ago now, pre-COVID. But they gave everybody gym memberships as part of their package. And what they discovered at the end of the first year was they were using the gym more than anybody else in their team. So I think you're exactly right. It was what interested them. And there were some people in the team who'd never even activated their memberships.
Because they didn't want to.
Nothing to them. Exactly. It was not of any value to them.
I think you touched on something really interesting there. It meant nothing to them. If any kind of incentive, benefit, bonus doesn't mean anything to someone, then it's not going to have the desired effect, is it?
No, absolutely not. I think that's right. And that whole idea that we just assume it will mean something, that they will see the value in it, is really interesting.
And I think that's the biggest mistake we make. We think it's an exchange, like we are going to invest X dollars and you are going to reciprocate with Y response. It's not transactional like that. That's not how benefits, particularly ones that are associated with motivation, engagement and retention, work. So I think it's taking that transactional view off the table and looking at things quite differently that really matters.
Absolutely. So what do you talk to your clients about when they're sort of talking about these issues? Because I know you deal with a lot of people who are packaging things up.
And I think because a lot of the businesses I work with are smaller businesses and not large corporates, they often don't have the budget or don't have the team, the HR team, to tell them what to do. What I really try and encourage people to understand at the sort of fundamental level is the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Because when we're giving benefits or offering benefits or packaging in bonuses and other bits and pieces that are extrinsic, so those are things that are external motivators, they're great, but they don't do a thing if our team aren't already intrinsically motivated. And that's that meaning piece that you were talking about before. So if we haven't taken care of that already, we're basically throwing money at the wall with anything that is extrinsic by nature. So I encourage the people I work with to focus more on the intrinsic, which they sometimes really struggle with because that feels a little less, I think, in their mind, because it's often free. It's often things that are as simple as thank you.
Yeah.
And you did a great job here. Yes. And would you like to work on this special project? It's things that are not tied into gifts or extravagance or cost a lot of the time. And it's also harder, which is, again, why I think they resist it, because it's much easier to just buy a gift
totally.
Than
yes.
to listen to what motivates my team and figure out a way to give them that.
Yes.
So I really do a lot of work with unpacking the difference between those two and getting people to focus on intrinsic motivators and retention strategies first before layering on anything extrinsic. Is that the approach you've seen work?
Oh, totally. And as I said, we come back to what motivates people. Because when we tap into that intrinsic motivation, we're talking about growth.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about that ability to grow professionally, to be able to take on more responsibility, to be recognized for the work that we do, and to be guided and coached around the things that help us grow and help us get better. And I think, yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of packaging up lots of extrinsic benefits.
No.
Because I think they miss the mark so often. And as you say, they can cost a lot of money.
Yes.
And it's often just like flinging spaghetti at the wall, as they say. You know, some of it might stick, but a lot of it's just kind of hanging there or on the floor, you know.
Yeah.
And it's such a waste. And we think, having put that together, that we're sort of doing people a favour, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not actually having that impact at the other end.
No. And sometimes it even has a negative impact because our employees feel resentful that we are not in tune with their needs or listening to what they want, or we're spending this much money on gym memberships which they've got no interest in, and they would much rather have that money spent on a training program potentially or something else that matters to them. So, or maybe another team member so that they're not feeling so overwhelmed and burnt out. So it can actually not only not have any positive impact, it can sometimes have negative impact too.
I think what I see a bit is that there's a fear around having these conversations with the team, though, because people feel like it might open up a Pandora's box where the team are going to get really unreasonable and say, well, actually, we just want a, you know, 100% pay rise, or we just want a bonus of this or that. And they feel that they wouldn't know how to deal with that situation if it arose. And they can't afford, obviously, to be kind of raising salaries in that way. So they don't know how to manage the conversation, so they just avoid it. Do you
I agree.
see that happen?
Yeah, all the time. Sometimes because they're worried about the consequence of the conversation, like you said, they're worried they're going to ask for the pay rise or demand things that are, you know, not achievable.
Yeah.
But I think even more often than that, they actually don't know how to have a conversation where they can understand their team and listen to what's important to them. And it's almost like a reluctance to align personal growth, like you said, and personal desires and development with the organization, where if they can do that, they're going to have the most highly performing team known to man. But
absolutely,
it's that almost nervousness about getting vulnerable and having those vulnerable conversations.
Yes. And that creating connection one-on-one. So, because that's what you're going to end up doing, isn't it? Is having these, understanding people one-on-one, understanding what motivates each of your team members. Which does require some vulnerability. And it requires us as leaders to be able to say, I don't know what the best solution is here. So I want to talk about what's important to you. You know, here's what I'm thinking, but I want to know how that's going to land for you. is that as important to you as I think it is, you know? And
Absolutely.
doing that opens us up to our team, as you say, just going, well, you have no idea. What are you talking about? You know,
Yeah.
of course we don't want a gym membership.
Yep.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. And it's, I think those conversations, they do require a bit of practice. It's not a one and done, set and forget kind of situation. You've really got to be having those conversations and having that open sort of channel of communication pretty regularly for your people to feel safe to open up, to talk to you, to trust that you have their best interests at heart, and to tell you what they actually really think about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've talked to a client about that relatively recently, where we were talking about how the first conversation you have about this is not going to be the best conversation.
No.
Because people won't know what it's okay to say and what it's not often.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you've done this for a few years, they'll be much more comfortable with saying, no, this is what we had in mind, because we've now been able to think about it a bit and we know it's okay to say, no, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Whereas in that first conversation, as you say, if that's the first time you're talking about it, they're not going to know whether it's okay to say, no, thanks, you know, or here's
Absolutely.
what we want.
Yes. And I think if that's the first of the kind conversation that you're having as well, you're not used to having these conversations about anything with your team, it's okay that it's a bit awkward and that it's not very smooth. And in fact, I tell people to own up to that and say, look, here's something I'm trialing. Leadership is something I'm still, you know, it's a constant learning. I want to have this conversation. It might be a bit awkward, but we're going to have these regularly so we all get really comfortable with it. And just own it if that's how you're feeling. I think that is actually really a bit of a vulnerability step for you as the leader, but it also then just takes that elephant in the room, I guess, if you like, out of the equation. The employee can go, oh, okay, cool. So this is meant to be awkward. I'm okay with that now.
Yeah, I think definitely. And when I was talking with this person about how they were going to do it, we decided they would do it over a 2-week period as well. So they had a conversation and did some of that and then sent everyone away to have a think about it. And then they came back with some of their ideas. And so they made it a bit of an iterative process over a couple of weeks. So people had time to think about what was important to them, because it was such a new concept and because there was this discomfort about, A, saying, I don't know what I'm doing as a leader.
Yeah.
I don't want to lead this process. But then letting people try out, well, could we think about this or that? And being able to say, actually, we can't afford that, but we could do this element of it.
Yeah.
Would that be okay? And letting people sort of think about that.
Yes.
So giving people time to process it, but also, as you say, to process that, the process of being able to say, this is what we think.
Yeah.
How could that work?
Yeah. And I think it's in understanding what's going to motivate your people, what, if anything, is going to help really engage and retain them, baking that in to so many different types of conversations so you don't have to have a separate conversation. I often teach people when I'm rolling through like a review program, and I'll suggest often quarterly check-ins these days. It's kind of my favorite current cadence. That's the question we're putting in the review. What's important to you in the next quarter? What are some personal or professional goals that you're focused on? Because I want to know if personally they're working on becoming the next, you know, getting their golf score up or something like that. That's information I want to know, because that's what's motivating them, you know, at a deep level right now. If they are looking to maybe take a progression in their career in the next 12 months, I want to know that. And that information is very informative if we are building in recognition programs or benefit programs or looking to reward someone or retain someone. If we can align those strategies and whatever we're going to throw at it with things that we already know are important to them, it's going to have so much more meaning and impact to them.
Yeah, totally agree. Yes. And I think this is the key, isn't it, is creating these conversations as the norm.
Yes.
Not as a special thing that we do.
And I think there's been a fear around that, because our employee might say, well, they might give us information that tells us they're not planning to be in our business in 1 or 2 years' time, because the career progression they're seeking may not be available. And I think there used to be a fear around, well, I don't want to know that information, or a fear from employees to even say that information that really needs to not be the focus.
Yes, because everybody's going to move on at some point.
Of course.
We're not going to keep everybody forever. So the focus needn't be on how do we tie them to our business.
It's how do we get the most out of them while they're here.
Exactly. Mm. Yes. Yes. And how do we create those ambassadors who go out into our industry as well and have really positive experiences to talk about, or who even just take that growth with them.
Yes.
And people see that that's what we as a business do. You know, there's so many positive aspects to it. And yet, as you say, we can get caught up in the, well, they're only going to stay for 2 years, so why would I bother?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it requires a total mind shift for a lot of leaders and business owners, possibly because it's very different to what our experience may have been in the workforce. Mm-hmm. But also it's a whole different shift about how we think about these programs and benefits and retention strategies, what their real intention is and how we can make them more impactful. And it's always about understanding our people at the ground level, I think.
Yeah. And as you say, getting vulnerable in order to do that.
Yeah.
So making it safe for them to share what's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And then align whatever you're going to do with that. But I think the good news in all of this is it doesn't need to cost a lot of money and it doesn't need to be grand and over the top. And almost always the strategies that are that are the strategies that have the least impact, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So pull back from the gym memberships.
Yeah, no more gym memberships.
No more gym memberships. And don't spend any money until you've checked in with your team.
Exactly, exactly right.
Conversations first.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. That might be a topic we need to revisit in a future episode, I think, and go a little bit deeper. But I think that's a great starting point.
Excellent. Lovely to talk, Christy Lee.
Thanks, Juliet.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.